Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
I'm going to read just a verse from the New Testament, and then we're going to turn to the Old Testament. And I'll try to give you time to keep up. We need to be diligent in the Word. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, I want to read just a few verses, beginning at number 18 and reading down through verse number 20, and then we'll turn to the Old Testament. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them modest war, a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Turn with us to the book of Numbers. To the book of Numbers. I'll give you the chapter number 16. Verse number 41. I'll just read a few of these for context, and we'll try our best to share the whole thing as quickly as possible. Numbers chapter number 16, verse 41. "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed." Father, we pray that you'd open your word to us. We trust in all of this that you'll show us, God, clearly where we need to be, how we need to be. Lord, in all of this, we trust you for knowing no other but your truth. We pray that it fill our hearts, and in all of this may Christ be honored. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. The Apostle Paul spoke in the book of Timothy concerning two men that had spiritually shipwrecked. Spiritually shipwrecked. I want you to think of that term. And I want to try to be careful today not to tie directly what we read from the book of Numbers, because there is a difference, you see. There is a difference. There is grace today. It is different than it was then. But I also want to be clear that God is not different. So we need to be careful as we, as I compare these, as God has shown them to me, I fear today that the plague has begun. You can look around and see the damage that has already been incurred, so many having been shipwrecked. Now, I'm grateful to report that being shipwrecked doesn't mean really the end if you'll trust Him. God can restore anything. He can repair anything. We live in a day when God has proven His grace over and over. What the apostle said here was, as he was encouraging Timothy to hold faith and a good conscience, he spoke of these two men, Hymenaeus and Alexander, as two that had blasphemed against God, had not held the faith, and not a good conscience. Now, I can only assume that these two men had made a profession of faith, but had not ever been saved. I can only assume by this because I really know no more about the story. But I know enough that the apostle listed their names. And what he said about them was that they had shipwrecked. A term he understood. A term that was grave indeed. Now the apostle Paul had been shipwrecked and survived it. And I'd say to you today that if you spiritually today are sitting here or listening, and you say to yourself, well, that describes me. I'm spiritually shipwrecked. I'm bankrupt. I've nothing else to offer. I've made a mess of it all. I've failed God in so many ways. I want to say to you today that God can still help you. I don't know of a condition where a person is beyond the power of God to help or to save. And for us to look at someone and to declare that there's no hope for them simply is wrong. There's never a time when someone is beyond hope. But I have to say today that we can look out among us in the world that we live in. We can recognize that within this culture, the plague has begun. It hasn't just begun, it's been around, right? And it's just getting worse. And when the plague occurs, I'm afraid that some truly are shipwrecked for good. Some do get into that spiritual condition that they never recover from. And it is a dangerous thing. It is a fearful thing. And today we stand as one with simply a mission to warn one another that the plague is about us. Now there's something that stands between me and the plague. Amen. As did with them in that day. The grace of God, you see, was there. God didn't have to honor Moses nor Aaron. He could have in his divine justice and wrath have went ahead and destroyed all of them that had stood against Aaron and Moses that day. But when there was grace or there was a prayer or an advocate that stood for them, Lord had mercy and He was gracious to them and He spared not having slain all of them who had shipwrecked that day because they had abandoned God and they had turned against the power of God and the people of God, and in this they had found themselves in a dangerous condition, a condition, friend, that left undone, there's no remedy for. There's no remedy for. When it comes right down to it, the judgment of God is final upon those that leave this world apart from Christ, having never been born again. Hymenaeus and Alexander were two that Paul understood and knew about. What he understood about them was that they did not have faith. They did not believe in Christ, and their blasphemy proved it. He said that they were shipwrecked. And I wonder, as I think about so many today that are struggling, how close to the shore they really are. When you get close to that shore, friend, there's a danger. There is a compelling, certainly, from the grace and the mercy of God for you to come back, for you to come to the place of safety, for you to heed to the call of God and remove yourself from the sin of this world, to recognize the truth of God as it pierces through the hearts of those that are in need. Oh, as we look around us, I realize that there's some that say, I don't want to hear it. May I say to you today, regardless of whether we want to hear it, the sin abounds on every hand. It's all around us. It plagues every part of our communities and our culture. It's trying to get into the home. It's trying to get into your family. It's trying every way it can to infect you and I. But may I say to you today, you don't have to be shipwrecked. You don't have to suffer at the hand of the plague, of the sin of this world, the things that are going on. May I say to you today that God is sending judgment, no doubt. We can read about it in Romans, the first chapter. There's clearly a hand of God. The consequences of sin are at hand, and it's moving among us. But may I say to you today, there's a remedy for sin. There's a remedy for it. Hymenaeus and Alexander had made their choice. They were shipwrecked spiritually. There was no return for them. I don't know and don't read of their ever getting right with God. Paul never mentions them again. But I read here in the book of Numbers when the wrath of God was poured out upon those who had turned against Moses and Aaron. May I say to you today that God wasn't angry because they turned against Moses or Aaron. God was angry because they turned against him. There is a will and there is a purpose that God has ordained. And may I say to you today, it is ever more important that men of God be true and faithful to what the Word says. And regardless of what our culture says or the people say or our government says or the world organizations say, there is a truth that will stand when the world's on fire and everyone else will be shipwrecked. There's no other way to preach this gospel. It is exclusive by nature. You're either born again, friend, or you miss heaven. It's not all for all and everyone gets in. It's not look around and everyone that tries their best will get to heaven. That's not how you get to heaven anyway. You cannot get there apart through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you miss Jesus, you are shipwrecked for sure. There's no remedy for that. There's no recovering from that shipwreck. There's people that have made a mess of things, and each one of us would have to admit, if we're honest before God, that we failed Him. We've missed the mark at times, and there's been times when we simply were not a good servant. And as we rock and went through those rocky places and the dangers and the toils, I'm reminded of all of this, that for the children of God, there is a chastening that comes to us. There is a reminding that always is constant within the child of God that they're not right with Him. It makes me wonder so many times about those who have lived so long in sin, how they can do it. If they're truly born again, how can they manage the conviction of the Holy Spirit that absolutely debilitates me? How do they do that? Except they not be saved at all. That their profession of faith was just as Alexander or Hymenaeus, and the truth be, they have blasphemed against God in their own heart and they're shipwrecked. What a danger. May I say to you today, what a danger. We need to recognize the warning. We need to see the signs that are about us, and we need to know that sin takes no prisoners. The enemy does not desire to do anything but to kill. He is not our friend. He is not someone we should be in league with. We need to make our stand and stand for God and hold fast the faith of God in a good conscience. Well, you will be shipwrecked. The book of Numbers records for us clearly tragic day of shipwrecked. Tragic day when so many would die. Die how? They lost their life at the hand of an angry God. They'd turned their back against God and they had rebelled and in their blasphemy experienced the wrath of the Almighty. May I say to you today, He has not changed. God was angry then. Do you suppose that He is enjoying what's going on today? I wonder when He looks down upon the congregations of the so many all across this world on a Lord's Day, how many He looks into and how many hearts that truly have no idea why they're there. They're there, but they're not worshiping. They're there, but they're not praying.
They're there, but they're not listening. How many times did the prophets of old preach this truth? How many times did he call them out for being stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart, hard of hearing and blind as well? How many times has the word of God beseeched us to come out from among the world and to be a separate people? Have no idea why I have to preach so much now on sin, but I can tell you it's raging. It's at every door. It is a cancer that is trying to infect your family. It is trying to invade every part of your life. And may I say to you, you can be shipwrecked if you don't know Christ. There is a danger that you'll reach a place that there's no coming back from. It began that day with Korah and Abiathan and Nathan, and the scripture said that these three men had rose up, being famous among the people of Israel. They rose up, they came against Moses, and they said, "You've taken all this onto yourself because you want the power." And they, in their own covetous heart, said, "You have to share that power with us." And brother, God made a choice that day. He spoke to Moses and Aaron. He said, "You tell them and the people of God to separate themselves from these three men." And they did. They separated themselves, and here these three men stood at the doors of their tents and tabernacle with many of their own family and their children. And the Bible said that the earth opened its mouth and it swallowed them. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, friend. If you think for a minute that you'll simply wander through life and somehow accidentally arrive at heaven's gate, you are mistaken. You are in a place of confusion. You are shipwrecked and need delivered. You cannot get to God except through faith in Jesus Christ and be born again. I don't know if I'll ever be eloquent of speech. Probably not. Nor do I know if I'll ever stand before a crowd that's larger than you. But I can tell you this much. I know what it says. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you will miss heaven. There is a truth that must be given. There is a danger, a warning, an alarm that should be sound. That sin is at the door. It's everywhere. We've no time, certainly not these days, to compromise with sin or how dangerous it is. You say, "Preacher, I'm in good shape." Let me be clear about your flesh. It's pitiful. It has no ability to make it on its own. Hear me now, friend. You say, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm strong. I'm good." In yourself, you can't make it, not one moment. Not without falling. Not without failing God in such miserable ways as it leaves us desperate and crying unto Him for repentance. I've been there. I know what it feels like to be desperate as we cry out unto God because we failed Him once more. May I say to you today, we need to recognize that sin is a dangerous thing. He opened up the earth and He swallowed those three men and all of their family that went along with what they did, swallowed them up, and the earth closed its mouth back. I don't know who you think you're serving or who you think you'll stand before, but friend, listen to me today, loved one. You're going to stand before Him. And if you have rejected His Son, please hear me today. There's no worse shipwreck than having not believed in Jesus Christ. There's no remedy for that. There was no remedy for Korah and Nathan and Abiathan, those men that had turned against God ultimately, and what they found was that the wrath of God in the end prevails. Judgment will occur, and the shipwreck, that shipwreck, there's no remedy for. The Bible said as soon as the earth had closed its mouth, that fire shot down from heaven. You see, it wasn't just these three men. The fury of God's justice. I don't know how to preach it. The fury of God's holiness. it shot down from heaven, and there were 250 of the princes of Israel that were gone just like that. God wiped them off the earth. You talk about a shipwreck that has no remedy. You can sit there and patronize me if you want, but I say to you today that this is something that is dangerous. You can say, no, the world can't do that to me. They can't get into my family. They can't affect my people. I tell you, it can. The world today is all about us. The sin of the enemy is in every camp. It's at every door. It's like a plague that is trying to get in your home. If you're not careful, it will shipwreck you. Will shipwreck you. He wasn't done because they weren't done. The Bible said the children of Israel rose up and they stood up against Moses, and they saw the hand of God and yet believed it not still. They saw the power of God and yet didn't believe in God's justice and his righteousness and holiness. And as they stood up themselves against Moses and Aaron, God said to Moses, get away from this people, and I am going to consume them. You know what people want to hear today? That God don't care really about sin. What they want me to do is to pat them on the back and say everything will be all right. Just live however you want to live. You do the best you can. But that's not how it is. So you preach as if God is always angry. May I say to you today that my God is not defined as anger. He is defined as love. But there is a righteousness. And there is a holiness that at the very first, the very only, the very sin of Adam and Eve, he separated himself from mankind. He despises sin. Yet we dwell in this sinful flesh. Oh, to God, your children need to know this truth. That sin is at the door and that it's dangerous. There's a perilous thing going on. As the plague rages among our people, young and old, all affected, as the enemy tries his very best to bring people into a place of no return, a place where the shipwreck is so terrible that there is no recovery from it. In this day, the Bible said the people of Israel, they stood up against Moses and Aaron and pointed their finger at Moses and said, you've killed these men. I tell you today that wasn't Moses. It hadn't been for Moses. They'd all been wiped out. The plague, Moses said, has begun. And he said, Aaron, he said, quick. He said, grab the censer of God. Get the fire from within the temple, the holy fire from off the altar. And he said, put it in the censer. Put on that fire, incense. And he said, run to the congregation. Run, spread that smoke everywhere you can spread it. And I could see Aaron running through the street. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't a Jeremiah. Maybe he wasn't a weeping prophet, but rather he was a priest and he cared for his people and he was not willing that they perish that day. He wanted them to smell the incense, to see the power of God, and he stayed the plague of God because he cared for their souls. He could see them. As one by one, they were falling over dead. 14,700 souls fall over dead. The Bible said quite literally that he stood with the smoking censer He stood between the living and the dead, holding back the plague. You say, how can you preach to a people whose ears are dull with the word and yet full of entertaining? Right? That's what people want, it seems, is they want something that makes them feel good. Want something that tells them that it's okay no matter what. Everything will be all right. Listen, wouldn't you rather have the truth? I don't know about you, but I need to know what's real. I need to know how it's really going to end. I need to know what God says about it, because in the end, it won't be man making the choice. It won't be man making the decision. There is an end, friend, and sin brings you to shipwreck. We're untouched by so many things until it hits our own family, until it gets in our own house. Then we go to crying. Then we go to calling out on God. Then it becomes real to us as we recognize that shipwreck could be to our own people. Shipwreck could be to our own children or our own grandchildren or their children. May I say to you today that we have an opportunity, but we're going to have to stand. We're going to have to stand. Truth has not changed. It's the same. I'll tell you now that God loves every soul. But God's love is not dampened by His holiness nor His righteousness. I can assure you the reason that God is able to be gracious upon you and I is not because of your worth, but because someone that was worthy died for you. We live today out of grace alone because God looks at Jesus instead of me. I cannot make it. I am shipwrecked without Him. Every day I need Christ. Examine yourself. Look inside your heart, friend. Listen to me, dear ones. Without Christ, we are shipwrecked. You cannot recover. You cannot steer the boat yourself. You haven't the rudder or the thrust. You have no way to direct your ship without Jesus. The only hope those people had that day was an advocate. Steve preached it. They got an advocate. Somebody that was willing to stand in the face of the plague. You talk putting yourself in a dangerous way as you see him falling over. And you're standing there. Can you see him? Aaron standing there. I'd have been what? And it's coming at you. And when it gets to that holy smoke, that holy fire, the plague stops. Amen. So, preacher, we need some of that holy fire. Some of that smoke that God smells. Some of that smoke that's a sweet-smelling savor in His nostrils. We've got it, you see. We got the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. And brethren, it'll stop the plague. Yeah. It's what stands between the living and the dead. There ain't enough programs to save this world. There ain't enough opinions or philosophies or changes. There ain't enough of anything that can save this world. Only the Word of God and His Holy Spirit can save it. Amen. We are shipwrecked without Christ. We're in a position of simply no way to recover. Come and get a song.
Noah preached for 120 years, and as far as I know, nobody listened. The prophets of God preached over and over to deaf ears. And ultimately, Israel suffered the fate of a merciful God that had given them chance after chance after chance after chance, and yet they continued to blaspheme and reject God. And ultimately, their sin brought them down. Rational people thinking can't look in the mirror and say sin won't bring us down. Sin won't bring America down. No, can't do it. You can't stop America. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The only hope we've got as a world is Christ. And I don't know how else to say it. People hear it, and in their folly, they just go on as if it doesn't matter. So many are dangerously close to shipwreck today. Their faith, just a thread. They've yet to make a commitment for Christ that is lasting. They've yet to give themselves wholly for the kingdom of God. See, they're playing at this stuff. They're messing around with something that they don't even control. And thinking all the while, I know how to get this done. I know how to check that box. I know what I'm doing. You can't get in, you see. Except Jesus Christ lives in you. Shipwrecked. Anybody that's ever driven a boat, unless you got hydraulic steering, that helps a great deal. But the propeller on a boat turns one direction. When you give that motor the fuel it needs, that prop spins faster. And the prop's direction is always one way. I had a boat one time, and it didn't have that fancy hydraulic steering. And you know what happened when you turn loose of the steering wheel? It went its own way. You want to know why? Because what powers the human body is its flesh. And the flesh has one desire, and I assure you, it's not of God. Here's an interesting thing. Do you know which direction that the boat always goes? It's not right. It's always left. Had a man tell me, I don't know why I'm telling this, but get ready. I kept telling him, I said, at high speeds, I can't control my boat. He said, just keep jerking your steering wheel to the right. He said, do that constantly. He said, because if you don't, he said, it will constantly be trying to go. The force of the thrust itself is going left. You have to make it go right. See, you're messing with something you can't control. The best we can do is to live right. To lay before God a living sacrifice. And say, make me what I need to be. Because sin is at my door. And within myself, I'm powerless to stop it. I cannot keep it from my children. I cannot keep it from my grandchildren. I cannot stop sin without Christ. The only smoke that God smells is holy. And that's who lives within me. Don't be shipwrecked. Don't be shipwrecked today. Yield unto God and let Him take over your course. Let Him run your life. That's what it comes down to, is yielding body and soul to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let Him drive. or the danger of shipwreck is imminent. Stand with us.